Troubles in Techland.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Alcatel-Lucent, the world's biggest maker of telecommunications equipment, has a warning. Sales in North America will soon suffer because of a pullback in spending on wireless phone technology. Shares in Alcatel-Lucent are down about 10% this morning, their biggest drop in more than 2 years. That news has weakened stock markets in Europe. For Wall Street yesterday, the focus remained the Fed and next week's meeting on interest rates. There was a little anxiety, too, about making big bets before next week's earnings from major brokerage firms. Those results may reveal the impact of the credit crunch. The Dow slipped 16 to 13,291. The S&P rose a fraction to 1,471, but the Nasdaq lost 5 points to 2,592. The head of Britain's central bank is criticizing the way other central banks, including the Fed, are dealing with a credit crunch. The governor of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, says pumping billions into the banking system could sow the seeds of a future crisis. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
In a letter to the British Parliament, Mervyn King has defended his own austere response to the crisis. It's been very different from that of the Fed and the European Central Bank. King has not poured billions into the money market at attractive rates of interest. Cash-strapped commercial banks have had to borrow at penalty rates. In his letter, Mervyn King says to let the commercial banks off the hook would encourage excessive risk-taking and create the conditions for the next crisis. Analyst David Buick.
He is not going to add his name to any bailout operation due to what he would describe as reckless lending. If banks have got themselves into a financial hole by being irresponsible, best they dig themselves out of it.
But King has also hinted in his letter that he might cut the bank's main interest rate if the present squeeze continues and the British economy starts to suffer. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The head of the FAA is leaving today after 5 years of government service. The next job for Marion Blakey will be with the Aerospace Industry Association. Yes, it's a lobbying group, and the move has sparked criticism in Washington. Steve Henn reports.
Marion Blakey, the outgoing head of the FAA, began negotiating for a new job with the Aerospace Industries Association this June. One of the association's top lobbying priorities was increasing funding for the FAA, Blakey's agency. Scott Amey from the Project on Government Oversight says that raises some questions.
Congress needs to go and investigate, you know, what programs and projects Marion Blakey worked on to determine whether she was doing anything that would have benefited her future employer.
John Douglas is the current head of the Aerospace Industries Association. He says,
there shouldn't be this witch hunt. There are rules, and we very, very scrupulously follow those rules.
Blakey couldn't be reached yesterday, but has told reporters she's, quote, taken aback and a bit appalled by all the fuss. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Imagine an unpopular new boss visiting the office for the first time and seeing his image on hundreds of not-so-flattering posters. That was the scene at the Wall Street Journal yesterday when Rupert Murdoch stopped by. It was his first visit since News Corp sealed the deal to buy the journal's publisher, Dow Jones. Murdoch appeared during strained contract negotiations with the union over health care costs and pay raises. Union members had posters picturing Murdoch with a suitcase full of cash and a slogan, "Show us the money."
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. PublicTransportation.org. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez demands loyalty, especially from workers in the state-owned oil business. Since taking power, Chavez fired thousands and replaced them with party loyalists. Now, 4 years later, those ex-employees are turning up all around the world. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has the story of one such worker who resettled in South Florida.
Luis Ramirez never planned on leaving Venezuela. He had a 22-year career at the state oil firm, PDVSA. He had three cars, an apartment with a mountain view, a fat pension. But Ramirez felt President Hugo Chavez was politicizing the oil company. So in late 2002, he joined a national strike against Chavez.
I knew that there might be consequences, but, you know, it was a calculated risk.
One that ended with his being fired. Word came from an unusual source.
It was by newspaper, an ad in the newspaper. My list was sort of 150 people altogether in one list.
All told, at least 18,000 PDVSA employees lost their jobs. In Chavez's Venezuela, most working professionals have what's known as a plan B, or plan B. That's where they'll resettle outside the country, if staying is no longer an option. For fired PDVSA executives, plan B is usually a global oil center, like Houston.
I have friends living in northern Canada, England, Mexico, and many other places.
Ramirez chose Weston, a palm-lined suburb near Fort Lauderdale. He had an investment property there. Problem is, there are few oil jobs in South Florida.
When we came here, we had to start over and build our way up again.
Ramirez lost his assets, his country club membership, his maid. He sold the Florida investment property and used the money to start a family printing business. He lives with his wife and two kids in a rental home.
I'm positive. I feel I have all the tools I need to get back on my track. There are so many opportunities in this country. It's so open and warm to people to come here and do business, and we really feel optimistic about that.
Ramirez is even looking to get back into the oil business. He just linked up with eight other PDVSA exiles to form a consulting firm. In Weston, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And if you have a comment for us, you can always reach us via email. That's letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.